All right. Title of today's message, How to Change the World. Let's say that together. How to Change the World. Okay. We are wrapping up our series today on moving things to the next level. We have looked at how to kill a church. We've looked at how to heal a church. We've looked at how to build a church. And today we are going to look at how to change the world. Because our lives ultimately are not to be focused simply on what is to take place in the church. Our lives are really to be focused on making a difference out there in the world, because the scriptures tell us God so loved the world that he gave his one and only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. So our ultimate goal is to be making a difference out there in the world for Jesus Christ. Our goal has to end with reaching people for Jesus Christ. Now, I want you to know something this morning. I want you to know that you are very significant. Tell the person next to you, you are significant. Okay, you are significant. Don't let it go to your head, but you really are significant. And it has nothing to do with how much money you have, how much education you have, what family you came out of, what church you belong to. You are significant simply because God has chosen to use you. Now, if back in 1935, if you had a Model T Ford in mint condition, it wouldn't really be worth all that much at that moment, because there were a whole lot of Model T 1935 Fords in mint condition back in 1935. But if you had that same vehicle today, it would be worth a lot of money. Why? Because nobody's making any more 1935 Model T Fords in mint condition. The same with paintings. Paintings become real valuable when you die. Ain't that a shame? You gotta die for it to go up in value. Why? Because once you die, you're not gonna make any more of those paintings. So because there's a limited number, the value and the price goes up. The same with coins. Now think about you. There is only one of you in this huge universe. There's only one of you. Some of you are saying, thank God, there is but one of you. And there will only be one of you going the other direction. God made you, you. All right? And there's not going to be another one. You are very unique. Now, how you use your uniqueness is going to make all the difference in the world as to whether or not you make a difference in changing this world. We all got certain talents. We all have certain gifts. We all have certain abilities. How we choose to use them makes a difference. Now, you may be that kind of person who does just enough to get by. Any of y'all ever ran into that kind of person? Do just enough to get by. When they look at the syllabus, they don't look to see what do you have to do to get an A. They want to know what do you got to do to get a C minus. Or you can choose to be that person who does above and beyond what's expected of you. I call it the and then some person. That person who goes beyond what you ask. For instance, at home, you ask the person to vacuum the floor. The person not only vacuums the floor, they straighten up the furniture and they dust things off. You ask the person to change your oil when you go to the mechanic's office. He not only changes your oil, he checks your transmission fluid, checks your air pressure, checks your antifreeze level and doesn't charge you anything for it. That is the kind of person who is an above and beyond person, okay? Not doing enough just to get by. The Bible has a word for that person who does just enough to get by. It's called being lazy. How many of you enjoy having lazy people working for you? Okay, how we change this world is by choosing to be the above and beyond type person. Now, let's just be honest. Is there anybody here besides me who have missed out on things in life because all you did was the bare minimum at the time? You just did the bare minimum. Let me ask you this. How many of you here are actually smarter than what your high school grade said you were? It wasn't that you couldn't do it. It's that you chose not to do it. And as a result, we missed out on things that we could have had. We changed our world, and we didn't change it in the way that we thought or we wanted it to be. Now, the thing about life is we don't know when a small decision is really a life-changing event. We really don't know. For those of you who've been here for a while, bear with me, but for those of you who are new, just share Pastor Toby's testimony. Pastor Toby ran out of money at Notre Dame College, had her bags packed up to leave that day. Pastor Toby sees a man wandering around looking lost. She makes the decision to go up to the man and say, "Hello, sir. You look like you're lost. Where is it that you'd like to go? And I'll take you there myself." That's all she does. She takes the man to the room and she walks away. The man talks to the president of the college and says, "Who is that young lady that brought me over here?" And the president says, "Oh, that's Toby Gillespie." He said, "Well, tell me about her." She said, "Well, this is her last day of school. She's ran out of money and she's going home." He says to the president, "You go tell that young lady, if she'll unpack her bags, I will pay all her expenses for the next 2 years and put her in a private room." When the president calls in to Toby a few days later and says, "Do you remember that man?" And she is like, "That man? What man?" And then she told him, "You probably think Pastor Toby shouts now." I can't imagine what she did. Now that was a life-changing moment, all because she decided to go above and beyond. Suppose she had just walked up to him and said, "You looking for the administration building? You see that building over there? Just keep going." You don't know when one decision you make because you are going above and beyond is going to make all the difference in the world. Now, Jesus challenges us. He says, in order to change this world, use the shock treatment. You know how some of y'all was, when she was reading those scriptures, when Jesus was saying, if a person asked you to do this, and you would say, "Yeah, you just wait for that." Well, them things that was going through your mind, Jesus was saying, this really is the way to change the world, by going above and beyond what you might think. Now, Abraham, in our Old Testament reading, Abraham wanted a wife for his son. And if you recall Abraham's story, years earlier, many years earlier, God had told Abraham, leave your country and go to a land that I am going to show you, and there I'm going to make you a great nation. And Abraham was about 75, I guess, when this had happened. And he's now about 116, and it's been a long time since he's been home. And so when it comes time to get a wife for his son Isaac, he doesn't want him to get to marry from the people around who really didn't know God. He wanted his servant to go back to the land that he had come from in order to find a wife for his son. And so that's what his servant, and his servant says, well, what if she won't come back with me? He says, well, that's fine. I release you from this pledge that you're making. Now, when the servant got this job to go find a woman, he did not know that this was a world-changing event. Because suppose he had been like some of us who had said, man, traveling out here in these deserts on this camel, it's hot, my behind done got soft, and it's hurting. How in the world he gonna know if this lady came from this country or another? All he had to do was just go up to a lady and say, look, I got a proposition for you. There is a good-looking man who is rich, and he's ready to get married. Will you come go with me? Now, some of you single women, that's all y'all needed to know. He was rich, and he was good-looking, and yeah, I'll go take my chances. Okay? He could have done that and saved himself a lot of trouble. But if he had of, there would have been no Jacob and Esau. There would have been no 12 tribes of Israel. There would have been no David, which means there would have been no Jesus Christ. So even though it didn't look like this was a big decision he was making, it really was. Also mean we wouldn't be sitting in here this morning. Now this servant, when he gets ready to go looking for this woman, he doesn't know anybody from anybody else. So he looks to God and he says, God, I tell you what. When I get to this place, help me out. I'm going to ask a young lady, I'm going to ask the ladies for a drink. The one that says, not only will I give you a drink, I will also fill up your camels as well. Let her be the one that you have chosen. Now, why do you think he would give a test like that? For one thing, he did not want to bring a lazy person back to his master. Okay? And he made the test difficult because he knows most people are not willing to go above and beyond. Most people are just going to do enough to get by. Now, Rebecca, she comes along. Scripture says she's a beautiful young lady. She's a virgin. She's very, very pleasant and everything. And this stranger, total stranger, she's gone down to the brook and she's got the water. And back then they had those big water pots that they put on her head. And she's got a water pot up on her head and she's ready to go back home. And this stranger comes up to her and says, excuse me, could I have a drink of water from your pot? And she says, of course you can. And she bows down and gets on her knee and pours the water to a little cup or something for him to drink. And she says, and as soon as you're done, I'll pour water for all of your camels as well. Now, he had 10 camels with him. Each camel can drink from 20 to 30 gallons of water. Now you say, I might have been willing to do it. Yeah, as long as you could turn on the water faucet. She couldn't turn on the water faucet. She had to keep going to the stream, fill up that big bucket, come over, pour the water into the trough, go back. Now, in order for her to have done this, it would have took her an hour and a half to 2 hours to have gotten that much water. Now, let's be real. A few of us might, and I say might, have offered him a drink. A few of us would have said, if you want to use my bucket, here it is. Very few of us would have gone through the trouble of filling up that thing again and again and again. Why? Because we are trained to do, what do I need to do to get by? We try to get the maximum for the minimum. Now, in some churches, it would never happen here at Glenville, but there are some people who just do the minimum to keep their name on the church roll. You know, when I started to publish per capita, and I said, if you were making per capita payments, your name wouldn't be listed when we put the names in. Some people would donate $1 to per capita to keep their name from showing up on the list. Now, that's just a crying shame. But that's what we do. And then if somebody in our family died, what do we want the church to do? We want them to do everything. We want them to lay out the meal. We want the choir to sing. We want the deacons to deek better than they ever deek before. And we look at our offering, and we done put in $1.50 in the deacon's fund, $1 in per capita, and $3 in the general offering. And what would happen if I say to them, you ain't gave enough for us to do all this? That Pastor Rick goes showing favoritism. There you go. The church supposed to love everybody. The church. But like I said, just the minimum to keep your name on the roll. I tell you, y'all got to pray for me, because if I run into one more person who tell me they a member of our church, who looking good, eating good, got the best cell phone, and ain't sent an offering here in 6 years, I'm liable to slap him up. So y'all pray for you, Pastor, that he don't run into any more of those people. We want minimum in, maximum out. Have anybody ever tried that at Chase Bank? You put in $10 and write a check for $100. The day of reckoning is coming. The day of reckoning is coming. Now, Rebecca thought that all she was doing was helping out a stranger. What she was really doing was putting herself in the position to be used by God. Pastor Toby thought all she was doing was helping out a stranger. What she was really doing was lining up herself in position to be used by God. You know, sometimes we may be begging God for a job. God, help me get this. And God is saying to us, volunteer first. Let me see what you're going to do when you just volunteer first. Gloria is our church secretary, not because Gloria had great computer skills. Gloria was terrified of computer skills. But when the secretary before her left, Gloria said, can I volunteer to help out? And because she chose to volunteer for nothing, we trained her with computer skills. And she's been secretarian ever since. But if she hadn't been willing to go beyond what others were willing, she probably never would have become a secretary. Jesus talked about going the second mile. Now, before I go over there, Rebecca thought all she was doing was helping a stranger. She had no idea this was going to lead to a husband. this was going to lead to far wealth than she could ever imagine. This was going to lead to her becoming one of the great, 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 great grandmothers of Jesus Christ. All with just this simple statement. Jesus talks about going the second mile. Now, in the first century, the Romans were in power. And the Romans, their armies marched all over the Middle East, Asia, parts of Asia, Europe. They didn't have Jeeps back then. Okay, they didn't have Jeeps to drive. And the military gear that they wore was kind of heavy. And the Romans, they could require anybody, you, come here, for a mile. You would have to carry their gear. They didn't care about what your schedule and your plans were for that afternoon. If they grabbed you and said, you carry this for a mile, you had to do it. No ifs, ands, and buts. But when you got to a mile, you could drop that thing and say, that's it. I am out of here. Okay? And you could be gone. And then Jesus says something stupid like, if they make you go 1 mile, go with them two. Now, could you imagine what would happen if the Roman soldier said, he's making a joke and said, hey, you did a pretty good job. Why don't you carry it for me another mile? And you said, okay. What? Jesus says, that's how you change the world, by shocking people with your behavior for him. You see, the first mile, you don't get any credit for God for doing that, because you had to do it anyways. But the second mile, you are in complete control as to whether or not you do it. We talk about a life filled with the Spirit. We're not talking about you out there on Lake Erie walking on water. We're not talking about I'm in right, upright, downright, outright, happy all the time. I don't know any Christian that's in right, outright, downright, upright, outright, happy all the time. I know I don't know anything about that. We talk about walking in the Spirit. We're talking about God giving us power to do ordinary things in an extraordinary way. God allows us to hang in there a little bit longer. He gave Rebecca extraordinary strength to keep going down, getting that water, pouring it in the trowel. Going down, getting that water, pouring it in the trowel. She was the one that said, I will water your camels too. She was the one that God gave grace to just keep doing that thing. When it comes to being successful, success is 80% just showing up. You know, if you just show up, even in high school, if you just show up every day, teachers will feel sorry for you. And they will switch that F to a D plus just because you showed up every day. Okay? So sometimes that's all you got to do. Now, when it comes, though, to living above and beyond, you cannot live your life by the measuring rod. You cannot say, he gave me a $5 gift. I'm going to give him a $5 gift. She forgot my birthday. I'll just forget her birthday. They didn't help me when I was down and out. I ain't gonna help them when they down and out. Okay, if you live your life like that, you'll never be an above and beyond person. You'll never be able to move to a higher level. Just think, what would have happened if Jesus had done for us only what he should have done for us? I think he would have looked at me and said, forget the cross, brother. You ain't worth it. But he didn't. He went above and beyond for me, and he really didn't have to do it. The second thing is, we can't walk the second mile until we've walked first mile. We can't go out and do great things for God without being willing to do regular things for God. Sometimes we need to kind of humble ourselves to listen to people and learn about them before we smack on the gospel to them and start trying to force them to speak in tongues. Listen to what it is they have got to say. Before we ask God, God, get me out of this job where these people are getting on my last nerves, God might be saying, I want you to learn to love the people on this job before I move you to that job. Young people, sometimes you don't realize the power you have to make a difference in another young person's life. In every school, there is somebody that the kids make fun of. In every classroom, in every school, there is somebody who's sitting by themselves at lunch. You could make all the difference in the world by going over and just having lunch with that person once in a while. Stand up for that person once in a while. That person is probably the one that's going to be a CEO 30 years from now, and you're going to be looking for a job. And I guarantee you, that person will never forget your name. Make all the difference in the world. When you're going through the line at the grocery store, speak to the clerk like the person is a person. You're making a difference in the world. Now, 3 months later, when you try to give them a card from the church, they're thinking, that's why you've been so encouraging to me. You don't want them to say, here's a card. I know you ain't going to church. I know you don't go to church, do you? Okay, so be above and beyond in your everyday life, because that's how we make a difference in the world. Even in our homes, a good marriage comes from two people doing above and beyond what's expected. A good parent, a good student, a good child. You do above and beyond what's expected. You're changing the world. A good Christian isn't the one that's got the great big cross around their neck, or the great big tattoo cross, or the one that's hanging down here, or the one that's got all these bumper stickers on their car. A good Christian is the one that goes above and beyond what's expected of them. Rebecca had no idea what was about to happen to her. When Jesus says, at the judgment, some of you are going to say, Lord, when did we feed you? When did we clothe you? When did we visit you? It's going to be all those times when you went above and beyond what was expected and didn't even think anything of it. One of the things, too, don't despise the little jobs in your life. How many of you know it was menial to have to be the one every day to go down to the river to get the water to bring it back to the family? That gets boring really, really quickly. But you don't know whether or not God is going to use something that's boring in your life to make a huge difference in your life. Don't wait for big moments to decide to make a difference for God. If one more person tell me, Pastor Rick, soon as I hit the lottery, church ain't gonna have no more problems. If you don't tithe when you don't have much, you certainly won't tithe when you get a whole lot. The Bible tells us the more money we get, the harder it is to give it away. So don't wait for the end. Just go ahead and start tithing right now. Now, when those camels finished drinking, Eliezer brought out the gifts. He had gold necklaces. He had gold earrings. He had gold bracelets. He had precious jewels pendants. He didn't only have them for Rebecca, he had some for her mother, for her father, for her brother. Now, if we had known that in advance, how many of us would have been filling up that thing time and time and time again? We would have filled it up for 30 camels. But see, God doesn't always show us on that side of the work. God waits sometime until after we have done what he called us to do to shower his blessings upon us. Rebecca never knew that in that stream she was going to find wealth untold. You don't know what's around you that God is about ready to use to move you to a whole nother level in your life. So don't despise small things. In a moment, we're going to be sharing communion together. Communion always reminds us that Jesus gave far more than he should have because he loved each one of us. He sacrificed himself as fully as one could be sacrificed because he wanted to make a difference in this world and he wanted to use us to do it. Jesus went above and beyond. As his children, as his followers, we should have that same spirit and desire in our hearts. Stop just trying to get by, but in whatever field God has sent you, be an above and beyond kind of person so that when you are gone, people are really gonna miss you. Amen. Let's pray. God, forgive us for not choosing to see how your hand might be at work in our lives. Open our eyes to see those moments in which you want to use us to make a difference. Help us to remove the blinders around us. Help us to see, Lord, how we can go above and beyond in making a difference in the lives of others, that you would be glorified in and through our actions. May your spirit be revealed in us more and more. In Jesus' name, amen.